come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is smorgasbord. Each of my guests has an interesting morsel of knowledge to share with us about his subject. My next guest writes about the top sports columnist of his generation, Jim Murray of the Los Angeles Times. We'll peek behind the curtain to learn of the legendary sports writer's life and career from his book, The Last King of the Sports Page. Ted Geltner is an award-winning writer, editor, journalism educator who specializes in sports writing and the history of sports journalism. He earned his doctorate degree focusing on journalism history at the University of Florida while working as an editor and feature writer for the Gainesville Sun. Ted Current began his journalism career as a sports writer in California and has covered entertainment, politics, sports, and the environment. Ted also has considerable experience in radio, television, and online journalism. From his last project, The Last King of the Sports Page, Ted spent more than 2 years researching the life of Pulitzer Prize-winning sports columnist Jim Murray. His complete access to Jim Murray's lifetime of personal collection of letters, documents, notes, clippings, etc., all housed in Palm Springs, California. Ted is an assistant professor of journalism at Valdosta State University in Georgia. He now lives in Gainesville, Florida, with his wife and his four children. Welcome to the show, Ted. How are you doing today?
Thanks, Bill. Happy to be part of the smorgasbord.
Well, thank you for being our guest. Thank you for writing about one of our favorite sports writing legends here, of course, Jim Murray. Let me just recap some of Murray's incredible accomplishments during his career. 30 years at the Los Angeles Times. In fact, there was a period of time where I couldn't remember when he wasn't on the LA Times. He was a 14-time winner of the Sports Writer of the Year Award. 12 of those times were consecutive wins. Pulitzer Prize, as I mentioned before, for commentary in 1990. He's one of only four sports writers to do so. He won the Red Smith Award offered up by the AP in 1982. He won the J.G. Taylor Spink Award offered up by Major League Baseball. He was a columnist for Sports Illustrated and Times. Even the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum has a plaque on the Court of Honor in his name. So my question to you is, you know, educated in the East, in Florida, at Florida and so forth, why did you choose to write about Jim Murray? What fascinates you about his life and his career?
Well, first of all, he's like you know, you're just reading his bio. He's clearly one of the greats when you would break down the best sports writers, sports broadcasters or anything in the media for the 20th century. Jim Murray's going to come to the top of your list. But beyond just the sports, at least one of the things that interested me was the kind of the arc of his career. I mean, he like you said, 30 plus years at the LA Times, but before he did that, before he even became a regular sports columnist, he had this 20-year journalism career that really just kind of barely touched on sports, but did was involved in so many other interesting things. He started as a crime reporter, worked for William Randolph Hearst and covered these street crime and famous early Los Angeles crime stories, and then he moved on to Time Magazine, where he was covered the golden age of Hollywood and became close with people like Marlon Brando and Humphrey Bogart and John Wayne, and this is all before anyone had ever heard of him, and then he moved on to Sports Illustrated, where he was one of the founders of that magazine. So I guess when I was a fan of his, but when I learned the backstory, I kind of thought, well, wow, this is a life that really could lead to a good story.
Well, he is a very interesting and a very diverse individual, and I guess it begs the question, why hadn't somebody written his biography before you?
Well, there's been some writing about him. A guy wrote a book about a guy actually who was a coworker of his who spent a year with him. Kind of wrote a book chronicling that year, and then he wrote his own autobiography. But yeah, no one had written a straight biography on him. And when I was kind of researching the subject, there really are not that many biographies written about sports journalists, but print journalists. There just haven't been all that many ever written. There's a lot of you know, a lot of sports writers that have written their memoirs and that sort of thing, like Jim did. But other than a couple on Grantland Rice and one on Red Smith and a few others, there really haven't been all that many.
Hmm. Interesting. So it's fertile ground for you.
Right, right.
I mentioned in the setup, Ted, that you had unprecedented access to all of Jim Murray's memorabilia and documents. How did you get that access, and what did that reveal to you?
Well, I met Linda Murray, Jim's widow, while I was at the University of Florida, and she runs a foundation in his name, the Jim Murray Memorial Foundation. She goes around the country to universities, giving out scholarships for up-and-coming sports journalists. So she was at University of Florida, and I met her as I was, you know, kind of looking for a project to write about. And she, you know, just from talking to her, I learned about this great collection of his papers and his archives. I didn't know that existed, but, you know, as a researcher and a writer, you hear about something like that no one really has ever gone through, you know, very exciting. So anyway, she said, yeah, sure, you know, you can come out and you can dig through it and see what you find. Jim, he liked Palm Springs and had a place in Palm Springs because he was a big golfer. And that's where, that was the place where all this background and all this material had ended up. So that was really where I learned a lot of the backstory, kind of what I was discussing before, the pre-LA Times stuff. He was a pack rat, so he kept everything. Had his old file cabinets there that, you know, because he always, with the LA Times, he always worked out of his house, kept his own files, and this is where he kept clippings about what he was going to write about, clippings of things that he wrote. But this is going way back, you know, even in the, to his first job out of college. He worked at the New Haven Register in Connecticut. He was from Hartford, Connecticut, and, you know, the very first stories that he covered when he was just having to write about, like, a new, you know, someone being hired at the post office in New Haven, you know, really
wow.
Beginning journalism things, and he would take notes on that when he first covered his, you know, the first crimes that he covered, you know, have the old clips from the paper, and then his little comments, you know, asides about, you know, how the story went, and so we got really kind of a great look into kind of how he developed as a writer and a journalist.
I bet you did. My guest is Ted Geltner, author of the book, Last King of the Sports Page, The Life and Career of Jim Murray. So help put it into perspective for us, Ted, if you will, please, some of Jim Murray's professional successes. For example, at the height of his career, how much did he make? How many newspapers carried his column, etc.?
Well, he was very loyal to the Los Angeles Times. Like he once he was there, other papers took a run at him. The most famous being the National Sports Daily. If you remember that, when the Frank DeFord and some others started a national sports magazine, and they kind of went around to, this is in the 90s, and they went to all the major papers trying to kind of get the top names in sports journalism to join this new effort. And at that point, I think he was offered a quarter of a million dollars a year, which, you know, for then and for a sports journalist was huge. He turned it down to stay at the Times and, you know, just got a little raise out of it. He did very well, though. So he was probably making the top salary for a newspaper journalist. Plus, you mentioned the syndication. He was syndicated at the height of his career, probably in the early 80s, at 280 newspapers.
Wow.
And so he that was through the, you know, the LA Times had their own syndicate, and he would split the money with them. So he did well. I mean, he ended up living in Beverly Hills and you know, having celebrities for neighbors, but he really kind of stuck to newspapers and stuck to writing the column. He never, you know, really branched out into television or anything like that.
Hmm. My guest is Ted Geltner, author of a new book about the life of Jim Murray. So, Ted, who is Jim Murray most comparable to today, would you say?
Well, yeah, that's a difficult question to answer because, and, you know, a lot of people ask that. and because, you know, who are his disciples? Because what they said at that, you know, at the height of his fame, he was, you know, all sports writers, you know, up and coming sports journalists, you know, they aimed to be Jim Murray. So, you know, they back then when he was winning those awards, you know, there was 100 people trying to be Jim Murray out there, and you know, because of his writing style, you know, he was very witty and you know, just had a very distinctive style. A lot of people tried and failed to be Jim Murray. Today, the style that he used and kind of, you know, the daily newspaper column and the way in which he wrote it, which really was not, you know, he wasn't really doing much sports analysis or, you know, talking about lineup changes or trades or anything. It was more, you know, his own humor and his own kind of distinctive way of writing features about people. Not that many people out there that do that. Rick Riley was a friend of his and worked at the Times with him. And he is someone who comes up who I think, you know, kind of is carrying on a little bit of what Jim did.
All right. My guest is Ted Geltner, author of the book, Last King of the Sports Page, The Life and Career of Jim Murray. So you mentioned in an earlier answer, Ted, about television and how Jim really stayed with the newspaper medium. But his career, it spanned 40 years, and so it's a lot of change in sports reporting and the media in that time. So how did he cope with things like radio and television? And I guess he died before the Internet, so that wasn't an issue.
Yeah, the Internet was just kind of getting started, and he never really grasped it. Hey, you know, he knew it was out there, but he didn't really get involved. Television came about when he was a cops reporter in Los Angeles at the LA Examiner, and newspapers. You know, there was at that time 4 or 6 newspapers in LA, and you know, they ruled everything in the news, and he wrote about at some point when they first started, you know, television reporters first started showing up at crime scenes. So he was there for the beginning of that, and at first, you know, newspaper journalists kind of looked down at television, and he, through his career, I mean, he saw, you know, television take over sports journalism completely. And he kind of had to change, you know, a lot of the style of what he did. Luckily, he kind of, you know, it worked into what he was best at, which was not, you know, telling the story of the game, but more telling the story behind the game and the story of the people. He had some problems with television and television reporters over the years.
Yes, that he did. My guest is Ted Geltner. So, Ted, let's change gears if we can for just a little bit, because you looked at the life and the career of Jim Murray. And while his professional life was stellar, his personal life was marred by tragedy. Two stories in particular. Tell us the story about his son, Rick, and then tell him about the adversity that Jim Murray himself had to overcome towards the end of his life.
Okay, yeah. What you say is right on about his, his professional life really was just sparkling. You know, he never had any sort of problems, and he was kind of a star right when he started working at the LA Times. But personally, he had some setbacks, and he lost a son to a drug overdose. He was, his sons came of age kind of in the 60s in Malibu, and Jim, you know, sports writer, he was a, you know, at the World Series and the Kentucky Derby and the U.S. Open. And so he was on the road, you know, away from the house, you know, all the time.
Just, sure.
Just the life of a columnist. And he always said that, you know, that was the one thing that he felt he failed at, was that he wasn't there, you know, kind of as much as he should have been. And you know, all of the child rearing fell to his wife. And it was kind of a very permissive time. And he was not one kind of to change with the times. So there was a, you know, kind of a divide between himself and his kids, who kind of were, you know, of that, you know, age of Aquarius. So Rick was a musician and had drug problems, and it was kind of an ongoing problem for years and years with, him, you know, some arrests and getting kicked out of the house by Jim and his wife. And eventually, yeah, he did die of a drug overdose, I think in 1982. And this was the roughest time, or one of the roughest times, I guess, because he had a rough childhood.
Sure.
Murray, but because right after that, you know, his wife died, I think, within a year of cancer. So it was kind of, you know, and he was contemplating retiring and just giving it up. He was just, you know, in a state of depression, and emerged from that later. And then you mentioned the you were alluding to his health problem.
He towards health the end, right.
His entire life. This was a little bit earlier, actually, that he had problems in both eyes. One eye was he lost one eye, and the other eye, or the one eye was completely blind. The other eye, he had a problem that led to him being completely blind for about 9 months, during which he was wrestling with the question of whether he should have a certain surgery on the eye. If he did have the surgery, there was a chance he could regain his sight. If it failed, he would be blind for the rest of his life. You know, and here he is, a sports writer. You know, his job is to go to cover games and, you know, write about what he sees. So he spent nine months unable to, you know, decide whether he wanted to go through with the surgery. Continued working for much of that. Was you know, had to be brought around to all the events that he went to. Had to have it described to him. He would write the columns longhand. Sometimes try to write them in giant print. You know, like he could see just enough to maybe make out like you know 3-inch high letters, or else he would try to read into a tape recorder. But he kept on working, kept on covering things, eventually, he did have that surgery, and his eye was, his one eye that worked was repaired to the point that he could at least get around. He could, drive to the post office or something like
that.
Well,
he was an incredible man, an incredible writer. My guest is Ted Geltner, author of the book, The Last King of the Sports Page, The Life and Career of Jim Murray. Ted, you've probably piqued the interest of many of my listeners. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, you can go to, I've got a website just in my name, tedgeltner.com, and that has a link to the University of Missouri Press, which is the publisher of the book. And I'm on Twitter at Ted Geltner. You can follow me there and learn about, what's going on with the book. And then I would encourage people to look up the Jim Murray Memorial Foundation as well, which is still operating and doing great things for sports journalism.
That is great. Ted, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, thanks so much.